Thank you, Daniel. And how true that is. It is well with my soul. How many times our hearts have been comforted over and over and over again with that beautiful, beautiful song. And at the end of this crisis that we face in our day, I'm absolutely convinced that we will sing that song anew because we will have experienced the wonder of this song again in our hearts. Let's turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. And as we think of the crisis at hand, can believers in Jesus Christ respond to such a crisis? Indeed, how can we respond in such a crisis as this? The Apostle Paul had conviction that we are not like those who have no comfort. We have the comfort that comes from the Lord God, the comforts of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God is a refuge and hope and a very present help in time of tribulations, of stress, of crisis. He's the one to whom we can turn. The Lord God gives hope when we are not in control of the times in which we live. You have watched the news this week. All over the world, no one is in control. No one. And it's times like this, there's only one place, your home. To the other extreme, there's the denying of the existence of the power of the virus. You have watched it. You have thought about these things this week. But we're reminded in the scriptures that we keep our focus on the Lord God. When we get eternity into the picture, things change. We change in our response to the events that take place. We're reminded that life is a vapor unless we get eternity into the picture. Unless we have our focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the same time, I'm reminded that it's in times of crisis such as this that God takes the grace and love and touches people's lives as never before. You studied Christian missions, and one of the things that stands out over and over again that it's in times of crisis that people respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In times of crisis, the door opens for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our hope is not limited to this life, that when we die, we have that blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 24 through 29. Paul tells us, and now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I do not share on behalf of his body. My apology. And now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake. And in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, and filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions of this church. I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God, bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. And that is this mystery. The mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested in his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. And for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come this day. Indeed, the desire of our heart that we may comprehend and understand the mystery of God in Jesus Christ. And so we bow before you and before your word and pray, O Spirit of God, minister to our hearts with your word in this time of crisis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this great passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul talks about a mystery. Not a whodunit that we can turn on television or open up a novel and read. But here's a mystery. Here's a mystery that is revealed to us only through revelation. God has to reveal the mystery or we miss the whole picture. We come with other conclusions. Paul says there's a mystery in the Scriptures. It's a secret, it's a truth that we can understand only because of divine revelation. It was in the days of the mystery religions in Paul's day in which the people, only the initiated were the ones who could understand certain truth. They were taken aside and they were taught the dynamics of that particular teaching. And then the day came when they would have the conference with the group and they would swear upon blood that they would die if they revealed the secret. And they would whisper a pagan god's name in the ear of the individual. A secret that would keep. But God in his revelation says, I have a secret that I have revealed, and it's for the whole world to hear. Stand on the rooftops and proclaim the message of salvation by grace alone through Jesus Christ. I have always enjoyed the writings of old Tozer, A.W. Tozer. He writes about Christians. Christians are crazy in roots of righteousness. A real Christian is an odd number anyway. He feels supreme love for one who he has never seen, talks familiarly every day to someone he cannot see, expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another, empties himself in order to be full, admits his wrong so he can be declared right, goes down in order to go up, is strong when he is weakest, richest when he is poorest, and happiest when he feels worse. He dies so he can live. He forsakes in order to have and gives away so he can keep, and sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and knows that which passes understanding. Can you imagine? Christ in all of his glorious riches actually dwells through his Spirit in you and in me. We're a mystery. Christ is a mystery. And the whole world does not understand the mystery. It comes only through an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse 26, Colossians 1:26, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations has now been manifest to the saints. We have that mystery. We understand that mystery because we have come to this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And Paul says he preaches the mystery. He preaches the mystery of Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm filled up with all of the sufferings, the tribulations of Christ in my flesh. Is Paul talking about suffering for his sins? Is he saying that in this passage of Scripture, is he saying that because of his suffering and tribulation, because of the crisis that he's facing, that he's suffering for his sins, and that's the atonement? Remember where Paul is? In Colossians, Paul is on a chain with a Roman soldier. 4.5, 5-foot chain that is never taken off of his wrist. It's always there. Is Paul suffering for his sins to cover the atonement of his sins? Of course not. The whole message of the gospel is just the opposite. That he has put his personal trust in Jesus Christ and he has been justified by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, saved by grace. And no suffering that he would do or I can do will atone for our sins. So Paul, and he speaks of being filled up with that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions, is a responsibility we have. To take the gospel out of the realm of self-edification and to share it with other people. That's what Paul is suffering with. He's saying the crisis at hand. These chains, Paul says, gives opportunities to share the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. Christ is the mystery. That's what this whole passage is about. That Jesus Christ sums up everything that we can know about the Lord God. He's the mystery of God. He's the mystery of God's presence. Without controversy, Paul says, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. That the Lord Jesus is crowned with glory as of the only begotten of the Father full of grace and truth. That he's the brightness of the Father's glory. We could turn over to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and we see the mystery of this person of the Lord Jesus Christ and seven characteristics of who Jesus Christ is. And Paul says we have this unsearchable richness in Christ Jesus, that Christ is the treasure that we have. We have the unsearchable riches of Christ because in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Paul would tell us in this passage of Scripture and the others that the incarnation of God becoming flesh is a mystery. Christ is a mystery. Christ is a mystery through his incarnation. And the very idea of Emmanuel, God with us. That's an awesome truth, isn't it? No wonder that the Lord God would come down from heaven, contracted to a span and placed in the Virgin's womb. Mystery of mysteries, is it not? Christ is a mystery. His incarnation is a mystery. The death of Jesus Christ is a mystery. Very God, very man, God incarnate, becomes a vicarious substitute for my sins and dies in my place as my substitute in order to give me redemption, to give me forgiveness. What a mystery. Paul says, this is the message that we proclaim. This is the mystery. Go to the housetops and shout it from the roofside. Christ is that mystery. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a mystery. We're getting ready to celebrate the greatest day in history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's in the midst of the crisis that we face in our day that we have a message to a lost world. Is that God loves you. God sent his son to the cross to die in your place and rose from the dead to give you hope, to give you eternal life. And it comes only from one who has demonstrated that great truth. in his resurrection. We know that the mystery of Christ is true because he rose from the dead, because he's alive right now at this very moment. And if you're a believer, then you have been raised with Christ. And Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, since, and I will translate it since because it is a fulfilled condition, since you are a believer, then you have been raised up with Christ. Keep on constantly seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's the hope we have. That's a real hope. That's the reality of who Jesus Christ is and what he offers to each of us. Now we have been reconciled with God. We have this new life in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we have been reconciled to God, we have a relationship with him. He's taken up his life and placed it in our life. And now the most valued person in my life is Jesus Christ. I have a lovely wife, 3 lovely daughters. I cherish them, but my most valued person is Jesus Christ because of what Christ has done for me. Because of regeneration, because we've been born again, something happened to us. Some change has taken place with us. And there's the spiritual birth when Christ came in to live. Christ, the mystery. And I'm convinced the greatest of all miracles and mysteries, as Paul tells us in this passage of Scripture, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mystery of the incarnation, mystery of the death of Christ, mystery of the resurrection, mystery of the ascension, the mystery of the session of Jesus Christ right now, this very moment. He listens to us, the prayers that we offer up to him right now, this very moment. He hears because of the session of Jesus Christ. And what a day it's going to be when Jesus comes back and we celebrate the wonders of the mystery of Jesus Christ. Indeed, the greatest miracle is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Paul states the same great principle in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. He tells us Christ dwells in your hearts. Because of the mystery of regeneration, this mystery of being born again, he's taken up residence in our lives today. Right now, this very moment, he lives within each of us. And this dwelling of Christ in you is the central fact of Christianity. It motivated Paul. It changed Paul. It changes our lives too. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, this mystery is so profound. For the Jewish mind, yes, that God would tabernacle himself with Jewish people, that God would meet the Jewish people in the tabernacle and in the tent of wandering. But the thing that sort of blew Paul's mind was not that God would dwell with the Jewish people, but he would take up residence in a redneck. That he would take up residence in Will Pounds. That he would take up residence among the Gentiles and within the Gentiles. Whatever Christ is, his people are in him. Crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, co-risen with Christ. For a number of years, I have loved the writings of O.C.H. Spurgeon. Something about that man of God and the way that he preached. He says, the Christians, The Christians are crucified with Christ. They're dead in Christ. They're buried in Christ. They were risen in Him. In Him they live eternally. In Him they sit gloriously at the right hand of God, who has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Him we are accepted in the Beloved, both now and forever. And this, I say, is the essence of the gospel, that he who does not preach Christ preaches no gospel. Christ himself is the life, the soul, the sustenance, the essence of the mystery of the gospel of God. Man, what a Savior. Paul says, this is the mystery. The mystery is Jesus Christ. And that Jesus gives himself, and to have Christ is to have eternal life. Christ in me, Christ living, dwelling in me, Christ bearing me alone from within. Is there any crisis that we face as believers of Jesus Christ that would be impossible? Because Christ dwells within me, within you. And the blessed union with Christ is a vital union with the Lord God. It's Christ in you, or within you, that gives us the riches in Christ Jesus. I have, through the years, enjoyed the scholarship of Dr. A.T. Robertson at Southern Seminary through the years. And Robertson stresses in the idea here is in, the preposition in, not among. It's not Christ among you, it's Christ within. And the context demands that it's Christ within. Christ in you. Christ within you. And Paul says, this is the hope of glory. Christ accepted by faith. Remember when Jesus told his disciples, I in you, you in me? Talks about the same relationship in Jesus Christ. Christ in you means Christ experienced in all of his power. Christ in you fills your life with the holy presence and power of Jesus Christ. I submit to you that in this crisis that we face today, that it is Christ in you and his sovereign rule in your life. That the day you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you turn your life over to him, and he became the sovereign of your life. And as the sovereign of your life, he is well aware what is happening today, and can use today to change this world in which we live in. Christ in you means his filling you with his wonderful presence. Christ in you transforms your person into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, that God's whole purpose of what is happening in our lives today is to conform us to the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. When we have that understanding of God's eternal purpose, it changes everything in our lives. That this crisis that we face today, God can use it to conform us to his image and his likeness. That's his purpose. The good things that happen in our lives, the hard things that happen in our lives, the purpose of God is that he makes us like Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. That's our hope. Our hope is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and being in his presence, yielding ourselves to him. Paul also stated in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, I think the very heart of what he's saying here in Christ in you, the hope of glory, Paul prayed that this great truth would become a reality in the lives of the believers in the church at Ephesus. Look at the way he states it. He writes at the same time. He wrote Philippians and Ephesians and Colossians and Philemon at the same time in chains with this Roman soldier who just would not go away. And if you feel sorry for somebody, don't feel sorry for Paul. Feel sorry for this pagan that's attached to him. Day and night, the changing of the guard, 3 or 4 times a day, and here's this Roman pagan who's attached to this guy, and he talks about truth like this. To me, to live is Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Can you imagine being a Roman pagan listening to a guy talk about Jesus all the time? All these letters that he's writing? Well, at the same time, he's writing another letter, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Paul prayed that God would grant you and me, that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory. The very Shekinah glory of the Lord God is talking about. That God would grant you according to the riches of his glory. What? To be strengthened. Do you need some help today? Here's where we find it. Do you need strength to face the issues of the crisis at hand? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory? To be strengthened with power, the power through the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Remember? The mystery is the Lord God would come and tabernacle himself in your life and in my life. That we would be strengthened with the power of his Spirit in the inner man, and so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you being rooted, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with the fullness of God. This is our hope. This is our hope in the day in which we live. For right now, today, that it's all about Jesus Christ and what Christ has done for you and me. The unspeakable joy, the unspeakable life that Christ gives to each of us. Christ in you means that he enters into our lives and gives us life itself. Christ in you means his power in you. We're without spiritual strength until Jesus Christ comes into our lives. And when Christ comes in to dwell, we have his power. We have his strength. We have the spiritual strength we need to face the day in which we live. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and now we have the spiritual victory. Christ in you means that we're spiritually rich, no longer in poverty. We're the richest people on the face of this earth, spiritually. What a day that's going to be when we stand in his presence. Christ in you means honor and glory. He glorifies the place where he dwells. And where does he dwell today? Right here. He has taken up residence in our lives. And if Christ comes into your life, his whole court comes with him. We're seated in Christ Jesus. We know him. We live in Christ in the fullness of his life. Well, the question really becomes, as we bring this message to a close, Do you make Christ feel at home? Have you welcomed Him into your life? Do you make Him comfortable in your lifestyle, the way you live? Do you begin today inviting Christ to take hold of your life? In the great doxology, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, Paul said, "Now to Him who is able to exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever." This is our hope today. That's the only hope. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And as we yield ourselves to Him and allow Him to take over our lives. Literally, Paul writes, "But to Him, God, who is able above all things to do exceedingly abundantly over and above all things." Years ago, my wife would used to go to the market and she'd buy mandarins, oranges. And she'd go to the market, and then the Quechua lady would count out oranges to her, 98, 99, 100. On yapita para Anita. We have this extra for Anita. And she'd reach over, get a handful of oranges, and put it into the basket. Yapita. All these extras. And we'd get home, and she'd start counting her oranges, okay? 90, 91, 92, 93. Eck, this woman has robbed me again. But God's not like that. The Lord God says that He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that we ask. Why? Because He's the mystery. And He lives and dwells in you and me. Kenneth Woost, the great Greek scholar, put it this way. Beyond all things, super abundantly above and over, and now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, beyond all things, super abundantly and over and above all things, exceeding all things beyond all things that we could ask, and allow Him to work within us. Crisis? Yes. It is definitely a crisis we live in. But Christ in you makes all the difference in the world. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for the greatest mystery in all of this world. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the hope of eternal life. Thank You that You have taken up residence within each of us and You have given Yourself to us. Lord Jesus, we say today, here am I. Live Your life in me this day. To Your glory, manifest before this watching world who You are and what You have done and how You can give what we need in time of crisis. Christ in You, the hope of glory. In Jesus' name we pray.